Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning to you. Happy Friday. It is October 23rd. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to closing this Friday out strong with you. Thanks for being with us this week. We've talked a lot of good stuff, national, local, statewide, and we'll continue to do so here in just a minute. ASU President Michael Crow will be our guest for the first half of this show. Then I want to share what I think were two wins and two losses for Tucson and Southern Arizona, and something that worries me about all four. I'll tease it there and leave it there. And then, of course, Financial Friday always closes us out. Experienced financial advice for seasoned investors and young professionals alike. That's our show today. But very grateful, always excited for these monthly, at this point, conversations with ASU President Michael Crow about education and the economy today. And today, we'll also talk about those themes in terms of the near and long-term future. Let's get into it. Thank you, sir, for being on. And we wanted to cover a couple of themes today as we caught up before the show. After the pandemic, a revolution in education and work awaits. Yay or nay, your opinion. And also in the second segment, we'll put our futurist hats on and talk about 2021. We talk about it in terms of open versus closed. Is that the right way to be looking at it? But first, Dr. Crow, there was an article in the New York Times written by Thomas Friedman, who I think you know or know of. He wrote an article called After the Pandemic, A Revolution in Education and Work Awaits, and talks about how some of the shifts we've seen from COVID really reflects a post-pandemic era where there will be a structural shift from degrees to skills. Lifelong learning that bridges the digital divide. There's a lot in here I want to unpack. But what are your thoughts? Do you agree? Is there a revolution in education and work awaiting us here as we head into 2021 and beyond, Dr. Crow?
Yeah, thanks, Zach. And by the way, little birdies tell me your birthday Sunday, so happy birthday. I don't know if this is the big one for you. Is this 30?
This is the big 3-0. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That was my guess. So anyway, happy birthday. And so I do know Tom Friedman. He's a brilliant writer, brilliant columnist, a really fantastic thinker. And, you know, his notion of the future really being fundamentally different, I think he's right. I think we're going to abandon, you know, basically our 19th century model for education going forward. We're going to not abandon it in the sense by leaving it behind. We're going to abandon it as the only way. And so when he says degrees versus skills, it's not going to be degrees versus skills, it's going to be degrees and skills. And so the opportunity that the future is really going to give us, and the pandemic has really illustrated the necessity of moving in new directions and then given us the opportunity to see how some of these new technologies work, we're going to be able to find a way to find a pathway for learning enhancement for everyone. You're going to be able to come on and, you know, get your college degree as a younger person, either in full immersion or go to work and then also pick up things along the way. So learning, what we call universal learning, is going to become ubiquitous throughout a person's life, highly individualized, which is very different, less structured, which is very different, many, many, many more opportunities, which is very different, and then also across your entire life, which is very different. So Tom Friedman is right when he suggests that there's going to be this this new way of doing things, this revolution. Absolutely, but it's not going to be a minimizing revolution. It's going to be an expanding revolution.
Dr. Crow, I wanted to ask you about something listed in this article called The Adaptation Advantage, or that was also the name of a book. And I'm asking you questions specifically that at least I think are things that you have seen already into the future because you're implementing it at ASU. There's this quote in the article, and I'll read it. It says, your children can expect to change jobs and professions multiple times in their lifetimes, which means their career path will no longer follow a simple learn-to-work trajectory, as Heather McGowan, co-author of The Adaptation Advantage, likes to say, but rather a path of work-learn, 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 this idea of lifelong learning. Has that impacted and even COVID accelerated in many ways your view of a university as a delivery platform for education. Are you shaping ASU in this direction right now?
Absolutely. Heather's absolutely correct. While we don't agree on every point, her basic concept is really, really important. Her work-learn motion, notion that a full adaptation throughout a person's life, because you're going to be changing jobs, changing careers, changing trajectories, that's going to happen like never before. It used to happen, you know, like your grandfather did one thing, and then your father did the same thing, and then you did a new thing. So it was like every other generation, there'd be some kind of change. Now it's going to be many changes within generations. The key thing that she doesn't talk about as much is the foundation under which the work-learn system will work. That is, you have to have a K-12 system that does what we call the task of producing a prepared learner. We're not producing prepared learners right now at the level that we should be, K-12, and not at the level of learning preparation that they should be at. And then the purpose of the university in that context then is to produce a master learner, a person capable of learning anything. And then you enter into the work-learn. Everybody doesn't need to go to college. College is for people that want to move off into certain kinds of arenas and fields and so forth and so on. But this notion of the prepared learner for the future, we're way behind on that. And the notion of the master learner coming out of the universities, we're way behind on that. And ASU views this as, you know, the fundamental central thing that we have to figure out how to do.
We're on the air this morning with Dr. Michael Crow, president of Arizona State University. We're discussing an article written by Thomas Friedman in the New York Times earlier this week called After the Pandemic, A Revolution in Education and Work Awaits. And he basically says, look, COVID has already shifted the world, but has also pointed to a shifting world where we need to be thinking about providing, he says, more Americans with portable health care, portable pensions, and opportunities for lifelong learning. That's what politics needs to be about post November 3rd. An interesting futuristic piece here. We wanted to talk with Dr. Michael Crow about maybe one last thing before we go to a break and shift gears, Dr. Crow. There is an argument in this article that post-secondary education will be a hybrid ecosystem of company platforms, colleges, and local schools whose goal will be to create the opportunity for lifelong radical reskilling. Radical reskilling means I can take a front desk hotel clerk and turn him into a cybersecurity technician. I can take an airline counter agent and turn her into a data consultant. Boy, Dr. Crow, have we not seen the need for that rapid, radical reskilling out of COVID-19. What do you think about that model, radical reskilling that is a hybrid ecosystem of these different platforms? How does an ASU or any university really, in your mind, fit into this new world that we really seem to be heading towards?
Well, we buy off on that completely, but with one difference. We think that there has to be a foundation, as I said earlier, the prepared learner coming through the K-12 system, which we need to do at least a 70 or 80% better job than we're doing now, and then the master learner coming out of college. So either place that you start, it's to get you on this what we call universal learner, lifelong learner platform. It is the case that the people will be shifting and adjusting, as new jobs come online, they will be replacing. For every new job and new technology, they'll be disrupting entire sectors. Entire sectors will see, 50, 60, 80% of their employment go away, but they'll be creating new opportunities for this prepared learner, for this master learner. And so we are already partnering. We're launching a thing called ASU Learning Enterprise, which will be learning assets for any person, any citizen, anybody here in Arizona, as well as Academic Enterprise, which will be for people that are pursuing degrees. And more formal learning. And so we're going to be moving in this arena, working with others, partnering with others, and that's going to help the average citizen to be able to be flexible and adaptable and successful in what we think the new economy is going to be.
Yeah, and this new economy, I think, has a lot of excitement to it in my mind, Dr. Crow, because the Industrial Revolution really, created these divisions of blue-collar, white-collar, employer, employee. As we see a disconnection from some of those institutions because of COVID and the digital change and bridging the digital divide, we're going to see more diverse groups of people, those living in rural areas. I think this article points it out, minorities, stay-at-home mom and dads, and those with disabilities, be able to compete in this new world from their homes. Is that too optimistic, or do you buy into that, Dr. Crow?
Well, if you want social progress, you need economic progress. If you want families to be able to move forward in new directions, you have to raise the intensity of the economy. So the only way to do that is to get everyone engaged in the economy, and the only way to do that is to then be able to deal with all of the diversity of the population. It shouldn't make any difference where you live. It shouldn't make any difference what your parents' income was or wasn't. All that should make a difference is, are you a prepared learner ready to adapt, or are you a master learner ready to take on anything? And so what we have here is a huge opportunity to greatly expand the economy, particularly here in Arizona where we have so many natural advantages. We're looking at ways in which we could find a way to move the workforce away from rigid, structured, largely structures that force these kinds of negative outcomes into ways in which we can get positive outcomes across the entire population. That requires us to change also, meaning the universities, which we are doing.
When we come back from a brief break, our first break of the hour, we are going to stay on a similar topic, but zoom in a little bit more specifically to 2021. Dr. Crow, president of Arizona State University, knows as well as other university presidents, the conversation 2021 often falls along lines of all open or all close. And maybe that's not the right conversation. As we look at 2021 and how COVID is restructuring some things, that's where we want to go after the break, is what is the best way to look at, plan for, strategize 2021 reality? We'll be back here on 1030 The Voice on Tipping Point right after this for part two with Dr. Crow, ASU president. Don't go away.
Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Do Tucson. Welcome on back. A fast-moving conversation, as always, here on Tipping Point with Dr. Michael Crow, president of Arizona State University. In our remaining time here, we want to talk about open versus close and economy versus science here as 2021 approaches and election 2020 wraps. Let's start with the open versus close, Dr. Crow. We often, again, talk about our response to COVID moving forward as we open up the economy or we close it down. We open up our schools or we close them down. Is that the right paradigm to be looking at this, Dr. Crow, or is there a better way?
Well, Zach, that's a terrible paradigm. There's no closing the economy. There's no closing down anything. We live in a society where we are essentially dependent upon everyone else for our own individual success. So you can't close down the economy. What you can do is move from a world where it's not thought about as all open or all closed. It's all smart. Right now, we got too much stupid flowing around out there. And what I mean by that is, we're not thinking about this in the long term. We need to be prepared for long-term management of our relationship with this virus. We need to be all smart. We need to run institutions in new ways and different ways. We need to run our businesses in new ways and different ways. We need to hold each other accountable for our own individual behavior relative to the negative impact a single individual can have on a very broad spectrum of our population. And so really, it's not all open or all closed. It's all smart. And we know that there's a way to do this. There are ways to do this. It's completely implementable. Right now, we've got people waiting around for some kind of miracle. There aren't miracles. There's only hard work and being smart. And if you do those two things, hard work, discipline, and smart, we can make everything work.
Dr. Crow, ASU is a research university. You've been on the cutting edge of developing more rapid tests for COVID-19 as just one of many, many examples that ASU has been part of the COVID-19 response. Another paradigm that seems very cut and dry, I love your thoughts on, is the economy versus science. It seems like we've made this paradigm where if you support the economy, you don't support good science on this, or if you're leaning on the science, then you are not fully supportive of the economy. And there seems to be an attack on science. Do you feel like there is an attack on science, and how do you balance science and the economy in a 2021 continued response to COVID-19?
You know, people may not get this, but science is our economy. We're a highly advanced, technologically sophisticated country that won World War II because of the capability of our soldiers and our scientists and everybody coming together. We've been able to deal with viruses and other kinds of pandemics in the past. We've built unbelievable systems. Our lifespan is double what it was 100 years ago, all as a result of science and understanding and so forth and so on. So this notion of somehow separation of science from our economy, that's an absurdity. I mean, it's not even possible. There's only the management of ourselves going forward in a scientific way. There's no other way. There's no other way to have a country of 330 or 340 million people, working the way that we work and driving forward the way that we drive and needing water and materials and medicine and all the things that we have. It's only science, only science. Deniers of science are deniers of the basic core functionality of our American economy.
We're with Dr. Michael Crow this morning, president of Arizona State University. We're at just under 5 minutes until the close of this conversation here in October together. Let's bring this home to Arizona State University. How does all this apply to your leadership of ASU as one of Arizona's three major universities? What is 2021 looking like for you, and how are you applying this in your institution?
Well, 2021 is going to be a great year. We're going to have 2020 was record enrollment. 2021 will be even more enrollment, more graduates, more diversity for our students, more opportunity to reach out to other learners. We've got several hundred thousand other learners now working with us in K-12 programs, high school programs, advanced learning programs. We're expanding our research activities. We've got a couple hundred research groups working in COVID. We're working in issues related to water and energy and new ways to capture carbon from the atmosphere. And so while we're working in this highly science-driven, managed, structured way of working because of COVID, it's not slowing anything down. just makes things a little bit more complicated, and you have to be more careful, obviously. But 2021, we are all in. You know, we've kept our entire team together. Everybody's employed. Everybody's moving forward. We're enthusiastic. We're getting more resources. You just have to adjust your mindset and adjust our behavior to defeat and manage the negative impacts of this virus while moving ahead. And that is what we are doing. And 2021 is going to be a great year.
We started talking here as we tick down to about 3 minutes, Dr. Crow, to close. We started today's show talking about some thoughts about what happens post November 3rd, what our politics need to be about, what our politicians need to be thinking about. We'll likely have a new mix of all of that at the local, state, and federal level here after November 3rd. What is your call to action? What is your encouragement? What is your ask of our elected leaders as we move forward into 2021?
Well, here in Arizona, we've got to build a new economy, one that's inclusive, brings in workers from every family background, gives everyone opportunities to move ahead, recognizes that technology is going to create tremendous opportunity and tremendous stress at the same time. You know, as autonomous vehicles come online, as new ways of changing our energy system, as all kinds of things are happening, there's going to be lots of disruption and even more opportunity. And we have to be ready. We have to be ready thinking about the new economy. We can't be reliant on the things of the past. We know that those economies are not going to be successful going forward. Those structures are not going to be successful. We also have to realize that we have a huge opportunity for taking some more steps forward in social justice. You know, we realize some of our limits, where we've fallen down, things that we haven't gotten right, unfairness, inequities, lack of social justice equally applied across our population. So we have a huge moment. We can see it now. It's visible. We understand the pain and the suffering of many people in new ways that perhaps we didn't understand it as clearly in the past. And we have a huge opportunity to drive towards this American ideal of what a true democracy is supposed to be like, where people can be moving forward with their lives and feeling equally treated and equal opportunities to get jobs and make things happen. And I think we've got a huge opportunity for new economy and a huge opportunity for a new Arizona to emerge.
Dr. Michael Crow, president of Arizona State University, thank you for your thought leadership. Thank you for your state leadership. And thank you for bringing all that to bear here on Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Thank you, as always. Appreciate your time on this Friday morning, and looking forward to next month with you.
Yeah, thanks, Zach, and have a great birthday this weekend. And I hope that you say to yourself, you know, now that I'm where I am in my life cycle, you know, what can I do with the years that I'll have left to have a tremendous impact? I just ask everybody on their birthdays. I had one recently. Just ask themselves that. So you just hunker down and move forward, and use your birthday as a marker to really do a self-assessment of where you are and where you're headed.
Thank you, sir. Will do. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, Zach.
Take care. Have a great weekend yourself. Tucson, that takes us to our bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages break. When we come back, two wins, two losses for Tucson and Southern Arizona. And what concerns me about all of it, that and more when we come back just after a short break here on Tipping Point. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. Services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Welcome back to Tucson and Southern Arizona. Here into the 1030 The Voice studio, I'm your host, Zach Yen. So you're listening to Tipping Point on this October 23rd, a Friday, daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just finished an interview that I look forward to every month, always, with Arizona State University President Dr. Michael Crow. And, you know, working with his scheduling team, you know, Dr. Crow schedules by the 15 minutes. He's a wanted guy globally. When I hear him on other stations around the state, it's usually a 10 to 12 minute interview. And I just bring all that up to say, getting to have his time and thought leadership here on this program for two segments for about a half an hour every month is no small investment, and it's just incredible, and it's an honor, really, to have those kind of long-form conversations here on this show and on this station. And I just want to thank everybody involved. Thank you, Dr. Crow. Thank you to you listening. I just want to let you know that this is a big deal, and we're proud to bring this content to you on this show and on this station here in Southern Arizona. If you missed any of that interview, you can go back on our podcast, kvui.com/podcast. You can also find a Tipping Point on Google Play Music and or iTunes, wherever you find podcasts. Go ahead and search us, and you can binge listen this weekend as I do other podcasts, as I'm cleaning, resting, running, relaxing, exercising, whatever you do, put us in your ear and listen to us all the way through. Before we go to Financial Friday to close us off, I wanted to talk about two wins and two losses in Tucson and Southern Arizona in the last week to 10 days, and why I am worried and concerned when it comes to all four. And we'll start with the wins, because I like to start with wins, but we had a company make a decision to relocate to Tucson. It's not our biggest acquisition, but it's a Seattle company in the sportswear industry, decided to move their headquarters to Tucson. They're going to be in my favorite building in the entire region, One East Tool downtown. I'm super jealous, but it's okay. Maybe one day I'll have a chance to do something in that building. But today is not that day. And they're going to bring and or create about 50 jobs. And it's just another great example of what it looks like to say, hey, we are a health industry-based community. Let's double down on that. Let's tell that story. Have companies move in, right? So, I mean, this isn't the silver bullet that's going to change Tucson forever, but it's a good win. It's a good win. I've talked about it a little bit on this show. The other was this amazing NASA mission that reached a huge milestone in the last week, the asteroid Bennu. The OSIRIS-REx mission to gather samples from an asteroid 200 million miles from where we stand right now was a successful mission as far as we can tell this week. NASA tapped the University of Arizona to participate in that about 10 years ago, and here we are. Huge win. Two big things that really reflect what I think are the present and future of our region. At the same time, we lost Cafe Poca Cosa and Elvira's yesterday to fine dining establishments in downtown Tucson. And you could look at this and just say, well, it's just restaurants and COVID's going to take some. Some are going to win, some are going to lose. I think this reflects a whole bigger picture. I think it reflects the challenge that we face, that the changes and the progress we've made in our downtown urban core over the last 10 years are at risk of being completely reversed in a period of a year. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that. I don't think it's symbolic to say that. I think it's the truth. Cafe Poca Cosa was was a downtown feature before and between downtown's different periods of relevance. I mean, it's iconic, and it reflects that the longer we stay doing what we're doing in the way that we're doing it, we're going to keep losing some of these pieces of the fabric of Tucson and Southern Arizona. And this will not be the last. You will hear me, no doubt, in the next few weeks talking about at least one or two more restaurant closures in downtown Tucson that are iconic in this community. I don't have any secret news that I'm not sharing. It's just you're going to start seeing an avalanche of these things. So two wins, two losses that I think reflect some bigger picture themes in our community. And here is what concerns me about all of those, except for actual radio. I'm hearing radio silence. I'm hearing crickets about all of these things from public sector leaders, from private sector leaders. When I go on Facebook pages, when I go on Twitter pages, when I go through emails, you're not hearing very much about any of this. You're not hearing excitement, celebration on the wins. You're not hearing, man, this deeply hurts. I deeply care. These losses hurt all of us. How do we make sure we stop this? How do we make sure that we support and make sure that we don't lose more of our iconic gastronomical businesses here in Tucson and Southern Arizona? And I think that's a problem. Right, I think that's the problem. A friend of mine, Louis Christensen, he runs a Twitter feed called Tucson Tomorrow. It used to be called The Dirty Tea. I think it's a fantastic rebrand. He often guest hosts on this show. And he said, look, when you're watching a football game, your favorite team, the University of Arizona Wildcats, right? You're wanting to see a coach that gets excited and gets frustrated. Right, we've had some coaches over the years that are just absolute maniacs on the sideline. I found it distracting, right? We don't want people going crazy. But you want people to get excited when a great play is made and frustrated when the play breaks down. Because that tells you that there is an investment, that there is an investment of time, of energy, and of care in the wins and the losses. It means that you realize what your team is good at. And when it executes well on those things, you're like, man, we did it. The plan was executed. We had a win. And when there is a loss, man, this was not where we were supposed to go. We shouldn't be going this way. And I'm frustrated that we watched this much hours of film and this happened. It shouldn't have happened. You want to see a level of investment that this stuff matters. And I thought about, you know, that analogy that my friend Louis brings up time and time again is I think you want to see civic leaders, elected leaders, non-elected leaders in our community more present in storytelling the wins and in storytelling the losses, to see a level of investment that these themes matter. And the fact that it's been crickets on both these two wins and both these two losses to me is deeply concerning. And I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here. Certainly, there's some big issues that we're facing. But I think it's deeply concerning. It's deeply concerning. And to me, it represents a lack of knowledge and a lack of interest of what we're good at and should be good at. And what are the things that need to be shifted at a policy level, a support level. And I'll close on this. I think politics and civic leadership is as much PR and storytelling as anything else. Right? I mean, this radio silence, that doesn't mean that people don't care. It just doesn't show that people do care. Right? And I think about what would it be like to have seen across, you know, the airwaves this week, huge win for Tucson and Southern Arizona. We've been a part of every space mission since NASA. We're an incredible space tech community, and the world gets to see it. Do you know how much media picked up the story about the University of Arizona being a part of this NASA mission? We were global. This was big news, except here, which is always the trend. It's always big news, except for here. People love us way more than we love ourselves. Feels like a therapy session. Get on the couch. People love us way more than we love ourselves. That's not cool. What would it have been like to have had widespread, this was a huge moment? Or, hey, look, we have a health industry, health tech community here. A great win as a company realizes that and moves in. Or what would it look like, as I've seen around so many cities and video feeds around the country, what would it look like to see some of our leaders? And again, I'm not picking on elected or non-elected. I put that in a huge bucket. What would it look like to have a Facebook Live running around to some of these restaurants going, how you doing? I know this is tough. I got your back. I care. This is tough. How can I help? Oh, by the way, Tucson watching, support. Right? What would it look like to see some of these men and women on the ground in the trenches fighting this out with our people? Politics and civic engagement is much about PR and storytelling as anything else. It's all perception. Not all perception. It's a lot of perception. And I think the perception we often get is that we don't see our best, we don't know our best, we don't fight for our best. And so whether we're talking about two wins or two losses, I'm concerned about it all. Because at some level, you want to see people getting excited about the wins and frustrated about the losses. And if you don't see it, you start to wonder, does it matter? Do we care? And that would be my call to action going into the weekend. We have to storytell our community, because if we don't, nobody else is going to. And even if other people do, why aren't we about ourselves? So again, one of my thoughts as we close here out of the weekend. Let's go to our last break here of the hour so we can come back. We're going to catch it with the guys from MassMutual Financial Friday. Experienced financial advice for the young professional and the experienced investor alike, coming at you right after the break. Let's go there now. We'll be back to wrap up. Don't go anywhere.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyilovewhereilive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And Tucson, we are back as we close out a great week and a great Friday, at least my opinion. 790-2040. You can call in and tell me about it yourself. But always excited to end the week with the guys from MassMutual Financial Fridays as we get experienced insights and advice for the seasoned investor and the young professional alike. Let's head over to the guys at MassMutual. Jason, Brian, good to hear from you again. Happy Friday.
Hey, Zach. What's up, buddy? Hey, happy Financial Friday this week. Brian and I, we thought we would share a couple of stories that we ran into this week. So, Brian, what'd you run into this week?
Yeah, so one of the stories, I guess, that stood out to me was I was meeting with a retired couple. They're clients of mine. And one of the topics that came up was the recent market fluctuation with COVID. And it actually brought up the fact that these clients were a little bit uncomfortable with the level of exposure they have to the market volatility. And when the market dipped down 20 or 30% back in February and March, it made them pretty nervous. But we stayed the course and the market recovered. So now is actually, since it is recovered, is a really good opportunity now to look at the overall portfolio and reduce the level of risk for these clients.
Yeah.
So what we realized is that they are now more averse to risk than they were before.
Gotcha.
But it took an event like the COVID to reduce the market value, but it gave us a great conversation piece. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some of the chips off the table and add more guarantees into the portfolio. And really, at the end of the day, the clients left feeling that meeting like they can sleep a lot better at night. And we were able to accomplish exactly what they wanted. And like I said, everything is a moving piece. But this year, people have been thinking about a lot of things, especially with the pandemic that's going on, not only thinking about retirement, but also mortality. So it's been an interesting year for sure. But we were able to help these clients and put more guarantees on the table. And like I said, they left feeling a lot better.
So is it something that, did they feel like with all the craziness going on, upcoming election year, those things, is that why they did it? Or do you think more just longer term, it was appropriate timing anyways?
I think longer term, it's more appropriate for that. But these things definitely added to their thought process. But what it made them realize is that long term, they're more conservative. And so now's a really good time to take some of the chips off the table and add some guarantees.
Yeah, sounds good. I think it sounds great.
Yeah, so what about you? Did you run anything this week?
Yeah, so we actually had an interesting story. We had a single mom come and talk to us, did no planning. She's super proud of the fact that she's a single mom. She's got, I think it was an 11 and a 7-year-old, raising them on her own. But what she really wanted to do was make sure she could purchase a house. She really felt that she wanted to teach the kids that even being a single mom, that you could quote unquote live the American dream still. So what we did was we came up with a plan that not only still set aside money so that she could start on a down payment on the house, but we also integrated some insurance planning as well. Because she's a single mom, we didn't want to have, you know, just a tragedy turn into a disaster.
Sure.
So we were able to incorporate the two together. But the story went on a little bit further from there because I shared with her, I said, you know, this starter home, you know, it may be $100,000, $150,000 house and it'd be great starter home. But I said, then as you get ready to move into the bigger house, you could almost turn this one into a rental property. And what if she was able to rent it to another single mom who then prepared herself to buying a home and teaching her kids? So it really dawned on her the ability to not just teach her kids, that it was possible, but then also be able to almost pass on that story of showing that it's possible. And she was really excited that we listened to her, number one, that we were enthusiastic for her, and it wasn't overly complicated. So she really felt that plan was great. It really came together really nice, and she's excited about what her future holds.
That's really cool, Jason, and I think that's a perfect example of how we don't necessarily just talk about products.
For sure.
We talk about what people's dreams are, and you know, just having a conversation of guiding how much she should set aside for the down payment for this house, and then getting her to believe the future of not only owning a home, but even renting it to somebody else and then passing on that legacy. So that's pretty cool stuff, man.
Yeah, Absolutely. Well, cool stories. Hopefully that the listeners really, appreciated the, I mean, this is how diverse the people that we run into on a daily basis, anyone in our office. So Zach, that wraps it up for this week of Financial Friday. A couple of cool stories. Listeners, keep the questions coming. We'll answer some of those on the weeks coming up. But again, if anyone wants to reach out to any of our advisors here, any of them can answer these questions, but you can also give us a call here at the office, 520-274-3749. Until next week, Zach, we'll see you then.
Have a great one.
Jason, Brian, thank you as always. And yeah, I'll just piggyback off of that call to action. Shoot me an email whenever at zyenser@gmail.com. If there is a question or a comment that you would like for these guys to cover, you could also call that number as well and just say, hey, would love if you talked about this issue on the radio. In fact, that's really how we like to develop the content for these segments is what do you want to know? And I got to tell you, financial advisors being this interactive with their community is a pretty rare thing. Jason and Brian are doing a great job and excited to have them here. And I also want to plug this. I use them. As I look at financial planning products and needs, they're my guys. They are the trusted financial advisors of the Yenser family and of Tipping Point. So definitely urge you to connect up with them about your needs. And again, shoot us a message about, hey, sometime in the next month, cover this topic, please. I guarantee you will do it. 790-2040, zyenser@gmail.com. And you just heard the number for Jason and Brian over at MassMutual. So go ahead and do that. That about does it for us here on the show. For this week, I wanted to give you a forecast about what is happening next week. Yesterday, I was in touch with both the Mark Kelly campaign and the Martha McSally campaign. And we've got Mark Kelly locked in for an interview on Wednesday from 9:45 on. And just about figured out a time with Martha McSally. And so we're excited to have a last week before election conversation with one of the most hotly contested Senate races. I think it's what, $130 million spent, which eclipses by tens of millions the Sinema McSally race. I mean, just enormous focus and dollars and attention on this race. So we will cover it. Tech and Tacos on Tuesday. We'll talk about a high growth company here in Tucson. We'll wrap up our TUSD candidate interview. Sadie Shaw, last but certainly not least of our six candidate conversations about TUSD here on Tipping Point, and so much more. I'm also excited to have been able to work with the Tucson Police Department to have Chief Magnus on our show on most likely just about a monthly basis for updates. So we had him on, I think, last week, and we're going to continue that in months to come. So make sure you hold Tipping Point in your calendar and in your subscribed feed of podcasts to stay up to date on all the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We do our best to bring it all to you here every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 here in the 1030 The Voice studio. Tucson, stay safe, stay healthy, take care. We'll see you on Monday. In the meantime, of course, Hugh Hewitt coming up, Bill Buckmaster at noon. Stay tuned here. We're a one-stop shop for all your news that you need here on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk. Take care, and we'll see you on Monday. Be well, Tucson.